Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
This is about the loudest I've heard this place ever. Really, after it only took 7 years of me leaving for them to get into the game. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was mixed, you know, it was a nice tribute. And, you know, there was plenty of people here that were supporting me, and there was plenty of people here that were booing me, so.
Well, that was the infamous, I guess you'd say at this time, post-game press conference from Jack Eichel upon his return to Buffalo when he played for the Vegas Knights. And, of course, the Sabres won that game, and Jack really took it during the game from the fans and then especially after here on this radio station, other media outlets, and I think deservedly so. A lot's been made about that, and a lot's been made about what happened to the Vegas Knights this year, especially after, you know, Jack hit the ice. They did not have a very good season, not the one they wanted. They're out of the playoffs, and they're making a coaching change. And joining us right now on the Wester Hotline is Jesse Granger from The Athletic to talk about the Vegas Knights. So, Jesse, it's Sal Capaccio here with Joe DiBiase. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, let's go back to that first. Let's start with Jack Eichel before we get to the coaching change because, obviously, the Vegas Knights made the best offer. The Sabres get Alex Tuch. They get Peyton Krebs. They have a draft pick coming in return. We like what we got here on this end from this trade so far in Buffalo. These guys are playing really well. What have been the early, albeit very incomplete, returns on what you've seen so far from Jack Eichel in the limited time in a Vegas Knights uniform?
Yeah, I think he's been basically what you'd expect out of him. He's been very good. I thought he was the best player on the ice down the stretch. Obviously, Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty were both pretty banged up. Those are their two top players. And when they did come back from injury, they didn't look themselves. So they didn't have the normal star power that they would have. But of the guys on the ice, I thought Jack was probably the best player on the ice. You guys know. You watched him a long time. You know what you got out of him. He's obviously a really great skater. He is patient with the puck. He's got the confidence to hold on to it, to wait for the pass to open up. He did a lot of really good things. I don't think he was at his best yet, which is not to be expected, considering he had an 11-month layoff and is coming off of a neck surgery. So I think there are some reasons to believe that he's still got some room to grow here in Vegas. I think a training camp with all these teammates will do him a lot of good. He not only was he coming to a new system on a new team off of a long layoff and a surgery, but because of the Golden Knights injury situation and because of their salary cap situation, he was never really able to have constant line mates down the stretch. I mean, he played with different line mates just about every game. So I think a training camp and an off season will do him a lot of good. I think in terms of the value of the trade, when you look at how good Jack Eichel is and how good Peyton Krebs and Alex Tuch are, I think the Golden Knights did all right. The issue that I have with the trade, and I think that where it may bite the Golden Knights, is the fact that they just didn't have the salary cap space to add Jack Eichel, and they did it anyways. And now they're sitting, they already have more salary cap committed to next season than the cap limit, and they still have four restricted free agents and two unrestricted free agents. So they are going to have to trade a lot of salary out of Vegas this offseason in order to make room. So even though that trade, I think on its surface, I think is good for the Golden Knights. I think it's good for both teams. I do think that where it's really going to hurt them is they still have to shed salary. They're not quite done with this Jack Eichel trade yet.
You mentioned that there were plenty of games where he was the best player on the ice. And watching a lot of those games down the stretch, it did look like he was producing chances, not just for himself, but for his line mates. But it ended up with, what, one assist in those six games leading up to the season finale, where before the season finale, I think they're eliminated from playoff contention by that point, where he had 3 points. But he had one assist in the previous six games. But how much of that was just getting unlucky, snake bitten? And then also, Jesse, I feel like, didn't we learn after the fact that he had been dealing with an injury in addition to just coming back from the neck?
Yes, yeah. So, and I should clarify, I do think Eichel struggled a bit in that specific six-game stretch that you're talking about. I don't think he was great. I think aside from that, he played really, really well. But I do think he had some, especially defensively, he wasn't good enough in that stretch. You mentioned the points weren't there. This team was just snake-bitten, the whole squad, not just Jack. They just couldn't score, and it's been an issue for this team for 3 years now. When the stakes get at their highest, this team grips their sticks a little too tight, and they can't put the puck in the net. They create chances. They dominate possession. They control the puck in the offensive zone for the majority of the game, and they just can't score. And it happened in the bubble against Dallas in the Western Conference Finals. They couldn't score, and they lost. The following year in the Western Conference Finals against the Montreal Canadiens in the weird season with the division split, they couldn't score and they lost. And now this year, down the stretch, obviously a different situation. They're battling for a playoff spot rather than deep in the playoffs. But the same thing happened where their top guys just got a little too much pressure and couldn't score. And to Jack's credit, I guess, or in his favor, he was dealing with a serious injury. He broke, I think it was a thumb, it may have been a finger, but he broke a bone in his hand blocking a shot to the point where he couldn't even take face-offs. He did not take a face-off for, I think, 5 or 6 games after that first happened. But he was still playing through it. He was still scoring some goals for him. So I thought, Jack, like if you're a Golden Knights fan and you're upset with a lot of things that have happened, I don't think you can really be upset with what Eichel did considering all the circumstances around him.
All right, so they're in the process of a coaching change. Given everything you said about gripping the sticks a little bit tighter, like, do they need to make changes then on the roster to do something about making sure this doesn't happen going forward again?
Well, I think they have made changes on the roster. I mean, this team, to be honest, I think they could it could do them some good to not make any more changes. And I just mentioned that they are going to have to make changes. They're going to be forced to because they have to clear salary cap. So this isn't going to be a really quiet offseason, but I think the best thing the Golden Knights can have in terms of player personnel this offseason is just a quiet summer. Don't go out and sign the big fish like they've done almost every year since they went to the Cup final in year one. Don't make a huge deadline trade like they've also done pretty much every year. I think the coaching change is enough change for this team. I'd like to see – I wrote at the end of the year, I thought this team never had an identity, and that's not a problem that they had over the first 4 years. But this year, I think you combine the injuries with the constant influx of new players, and not just new players, new star players. They aren't adding around a core. They basically built the core by trading for Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, signing Alex Pietrangelo, trading for Jack Eichel. I think they could use some stability in their roster and just kind of let these guys come to camp, try to gel together, try to build an identity. And obviously picking the right coach is going to be crucial in finding the right identity for this group of players, because I think Pete DeBoer is a great hockey coach. I think his systems work. I think everything about the way Pete DeBoer operates is good. I just don't know if it was the best match for this specific roster. I think the way he wanted to score goals, this roster isn't built to score those kind of goals. And I think some of the things that his system did, I think the structure of his system maybe took away some creativity. So I do think that also impacted I think that was a factor in their inability to score was I don't think the system, albeit a good one, wasn't the right one for this group.
That's interesting because, like, there'll be competition for him anyway. I think I saw Winnipeg is going to be interviewing him, but Barry Trotz has been the name that I've seen the most connected to Vegas. And it might just be speculation that, oh, it fits. He's available. He's won a Stanley Cup. It's right. A Stanley Cup caliber roster. He fits. But I don't know, Jesse, like, the thing I think about Trotz is, maybe this is more from the Islanders' time than the Capitals, that it's defensive, it's shut it down, it's play the trap when you're up one goal. And I don't, even though he's a big name and he's got the pedigree that fits with Vegas, I don't know, does he stylistically fit with the Golden Knights?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I just wrote essentially that. I totally agree. I think Barry Trotz is probably the best coach available. I think there's an argument Barry Trotz is one of the best coaches in hockey, but I think the fit might not be there. I mean, if the Golden Knights are if Kelly McCrimmon has decided we don't need to fundamentally change the way we play, we just need to do it better, then Trotz is the guy because he does that shot suppression style. His teams play good defense. I mean, I look at the Islanders. The year before he went to Long Island, they allowed the most goals in the NHL. And then his first season there, they allowed the fewest goals in the NHL. Like, the guy knows how to shut down the opposing team. So I think Trotz is probably the best coach out there. I don't know if he's the best fit. This team has shown, as I've mentioned a few times, they like to go for the big move, the big flashy, the move that every fan on Twitter is calling for, whether it's signing Petrangelo or trading for Eichel. They've done that consistently, and it feels like Trotz would be kind of another step in that direction. I don't know if that's the way they're going to go. I think maybe they should go for someone a little more with some offensive background, but at the same time, it's hard to argue against Barry Trotz and the results he's got.
Jesse Granger joining us here talks about the Vegas Golden Knights on the radio and also covers them for The Athletic. And obviously, you know, we're well past the point, Jesse, of asking you what are we getting in Buffalo and Alex Tuch or Peyton Krebs. We've seen enough of them. But I will ask you, are you surprised at all about how really, really well Alex Tuch played for the Sabres once he got a uniform on? And even I would say, now look, he didn't have the numbers necessarily at the NHL level, Peyton Krebs, but we've seen some flashes from this kid and what he's doing in Rochester in the playoffs right now, and he seems like he has eyes in the back of his head. Like, I think we're very comfortable here in Buffalo with the return so far.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not surprised with Tuch at all. He is such a dynamic player. I've said it for a few years. I think he was the most dynamic player on the Golden Knights roster. The problem for Alex Tuch in Vegas was he plays right wing. He doesn't play all that well on the left. Like, they tried moving him to the left at times when there were injuries and they had to shuffle him around, and he just never really worked on the left. So he's a really good right wing, and he just happened to play on a team that had Mark Stone and Riley Smith. And he just simply was not going to pass those two on the depth chart, so he couldn't find his way into the top six. So in Vegas, Tuch was constantly stuck on the third line, playing less minutes, and he was also, the third line was kind of their shuffle line. It was, they had offensive identities on the top two lines. The bottom line with Ryan Reeves and William Carrier was the Basher brothers, and the third line was just kind of whoever else is left, and he was stuck with players like Cody Eakin and Ryan Carpenter, who are fine players, but they aren't offensive weapons. So I've been saying for a while, if Alex Tuch can ever get top 6 minutes with offensive players, he's going to be a monster. And he has been. He's been really good in Buffalo. It's really cool to see. I'm a big fan of Alex Tuch right here. He was great to deal with in Vegas. He was amazing in the community. So it's very cool to see him. I think I've been saying it. I remember from the first development camp they held in Vegas when they didn't even have their practice facility built yet, I said, man, that might be the first captain of this team. I really like his maturity, everything about Alex Tuch I'm a big fan of. So I'm not surprised at all to see his success there. Krebs, I am a little surprised. Krebs didn't show much in Vegas, and it was obviously very limited, and he's really young, so you got to be patient with that. But he didn't do much of anything. I mean, he's a water bug out there. He skates all over the place. Like, that part sticks out. He flies, and he puts pressure on the forecheck, and he's got a ton of energy. So that part, he did show, but the offensive instincts just weren't there, and he was kind of like Tuch. He was playing down the lineup with maybe not the most offensive players, so that's part of it. But I've been a little bit surprised with when I see the highlights of Krebs dishing some assists every other night. It's good for him. It seems like he's in a great situation.
So there's no actual betting line on it, but you mentioned like Tuch being captain material. I mean, he would be as heavy a favorite as there is to be, I think, the next Sabres captain. Whether that happens next year or the year after, we'll see. But yeah, I think all that sounds right too on Krebs. Like, Jesse, it might be a case where, I mean, you would know, he was an Achilles injury in his draft year that kind of stalled his development a little bit. I don't know. It feels like he might be one of those guys where it'll take 2 years before we really know what he is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it was a crazy accident. He got cut on his Achilles just while practicing skating before the draft. And yeah, he was in on a scooter for his first few months here in Vegas. But great kid. He's got great he's got a great motor, would be my, like, I guess my, the number one attribute I'd give Peyton Krebs is his motor. I mean, he just never stops, which for a player with the offensive potential that he has is pretty exciting. It's fun to watch.
Back on the Golden Knights for a moment, because we've talked about their cap situation a little bit here. They're already over the cap for next year. One, is Evgeny Dadonov the right first name to look at, given that they tried to trade him at the deadline? And then two, is anything happening with Robin Lehner, like between the organization and him? Because there was that odd situation at the end of the year with his surgery. Have cooler heads prevailed? Is that a relationship that you see continuing without issue?
Yeah, I do think. I mean, he met with Kelly McCrimmon in their regular exit interviews, and Kelly said it went well. I think a big part of that, and I even said I think Robin and Pete DeBoer can coexist. If they had decided to keep Pete DeBoer, I think they would have found a way. But I think the most strained relationship was between Robin and Pete. So the fact that Pete's no longer here, I think makes it a lot easier to massage that. So I expect Robin to be back. I expect him to – I do think there's a good chance they move on from Laurent Bressois, their backup goalie. He's making over $2 million. So I think Logan Thompson came in at the end of the year. He was their AHL guy. He was their third guy. He was phenomenal down the stretch. They have him signed for the next 3 years at a $700,000 cap hit. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if they move on from Laurent Bressois as the backup goalie and roll with Lehner and Thompson as 1A and 1B. That would save them some money on the cap, and I think it gives Thompson more opportunity to continue to prove himself because he's been phenomenal.
Jesse, I know you cover the Knights there, but I'm sure you're paying attention to what goes on in the East over here. And obviously in Buffalo, we were locked in on what was going on in Toronto because they're just over the border there. And you know, lots of Sabres fans, you know, are very happy they didn't make it out of the first round again. What do you make of that situation up there, where they are right now, and once again, another first-round exit for the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a believer that, like some sports in basketball, basketball is the best example. The team with the best player wins in basketball. If you've got the best player on the court, you're probably going to win. I think hockey is a worst player sport. I think the team with the best worst player in hockey wins, not the best player. And I think Maple Leafs, the top of their roster is so heavy. And by the way, I think a big part of this belief is I watched that expansion team with the Golden Knights. They had guys scratched that would be playing on the third line on the opposing team. They didn't have any top liners, but they had like four second lines and they dominated teams. And as it's kind of been proven out, I think the bottom of your lineup is so important. Tampa Bay had all those stars, but couldn't win anything until they started bringing in really solid pieces in the bottom six. I think the top six of the Maple Leafs is absolutely Stanley Cup material. I think the bottom of their lineup and the bottom of their defensive pairings maybe just aren't good enough, and it lets them down at the wrong times.
What do you think about what's going on in the West right now? Of course, the battle for Alberta, you're close. You've watched these teams play a lot. Joe said at the top of the program, after watching last night, he said, you know, he goes, the Avalanche are the best team in hockey, and it's not even close the way they play.
Yeah, I mean, right now it certainly looks that way. They are unbelievable. I mean, it's crazy that Nathan MacKinnon might not even be the best player on this team anymore. Like, if you would have said that 3 years ago, no one would have believed you. Like, Cale Makar is unbelievable with how good he is right now. And he does things no one else in the league can do. They're a lot of fun to watch. I think as long as Darcy Kemper plays well in net, they are going to be impossible to beat, at least in the West. I think there are some teams out East that can absolutely skate with them, Carolina, Tampa, and Florida. Mm-hmm. But in the West, Colorado is they certainly seem a step above the rest. I'm just as pumped as everyone to watch the battle for Alberta.
Yep.
Connor McDavid in the playoffs is always fun to watch. Like, it's Leon Draisaitl. I don't know. There's a lot of storylines in that series that are going to be fun to watch. I hope it lives up to the hype. I'm excited for it tonight.
One more quick around the league thing I wanted to get your thoughts on before we let you go, Jesse. In Pittsburgh, Rob Rossi of The Athletic, I think he had yesterday or the day before that at this point he doesn't see Malkin, Letang, or Brian Rust back in Pittsburgh, and that the rumors of Crosby is upset about that. Just what do you make of, if that does come to fruition, that Pittsburgh lets their big guns go around Crosby? It almost, doesn't it kind of read like that's them saying, all right, like, I know you're 35, Sid, but like, and you've got years left, but like, we got to start to retool. And I don't know, that feels like that I don't want to say it's crazy, but you just don't see teams do that very often with legendary players like Letang and Malkin.
Yeah, for sure. If they let those guys go, the Golden Knights are for sure going to sign all of them.
I love it.
No, but seriously, yeah, I agree with you. It feels like the end of an era if that happens. It would be, and I think not only an end to an era, but an end, an earlier end than we all expected. Yeah. I think we all kind of have assumed that these three players are going to play until they can't play anymore all together in Pittsburgh. And it would be, I mean, I don't blame them if they do end up wanting to retool. They haven't had a deep playoff run in quite some time, but at the same time, it's going to be weird to not have, if we don't have Crosby and Malkin and those guys in Pittsburgh doing what they've been doing since about as long as I can remember. I mean, I think I was in high school when those guys were winning Stanley Cup. So yeah. It would be strange to not have that team.
All right, last thing before we let you go here. We appreciate your time. We've kept you quite a while. Jesse Granger of The Athletic, NHL Network correspondent as well. Just a thought on the Sabres. You know, we've had some dark days here for quite a while. It's been a decade, more than that, since they've made the playoffs. They have the longest drought going. But we are feeling very, very good about the future, the direction of this organization. The prospect pool looks amazing. They have some really nice young players on the actual roster right now. Yes, the East is tough. But your thoughts on what you see from the outside looking in?
Yeah, I think everything points to this team heading in the right direction, and I think culture is a big thing, and I think that the belief that, hey, we're finally going to get out of this and do this and build this team. I think I think the Eichel move was important in that aspect. I think just from the outside, it seemed like a renewed sense of optimism with Tuck, and just he's the hometown guy and the way that he played right off the bat. And like you said, he's been captain material. I think not so much the skill on the ice, but the culture around that team seems to have changed from way over here in Vegas from my perspective. And I think that's a good thing because they've got lots of young talent Jack Eichel was an amazing talent, but it just never, the culture never, the pieces around him, it just never fit. I think now you've got a lot of young talent, obviously Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin, all those guys. And I think the pieces around them and the culture around them seems to be heading in the right direction. I'm excited to see what they can do.
Jesse, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it. I know it's a little bit earlier for you out there, out west. But you know what? We appreciate your stuff and appreciate your time here. And thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that is Jesse Granger, covers the Golden Knights for The Athletic, also an NHL Network TV correspondent. Joe, I am getting some blowback on my seven NFC teams that you basically agreed with, but there's people love the Saints a little more than I do and you do, so maybe we could talk about that when we come back, how this looks, because I'm getting some blowback on the seven teams that I said right now I would say are the NFC playoff teams. We could look at the AFC as well, but I think it's an interesting, like, real division between the top and the bottom in that conference, whereas opposed to the AFC, I think there's a lot of teams right there in the middle, in the second and third tier, if you will, taking your Tuesday tiers from Jody Biasi. Sal Capaccio, along with you, Sneaky Jody Biasi, the Extra Point Show on WGR.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I talk a little bit to Gabe Davis, just a little bit. And, you know, he's a cool dude. Just told me if I need anything and need any help or anything like that, just to let him know. But other than that, no, I'm just I'm excited to see all of them and meet everybody face-to-face. Like I said, I've been watching those dudes for a while. You know, guys like Stephon Diggs, like, to me, that's just mind-blowing. By the way, I'm not the type to sit here and try and be cool and act like I'm this Stephon Diggs, you know. So I'm excited to learn from him, though.
That's really great. That's Khalil Shakir. That was after rookie minicamp last week. The Bills will be, they're holding phase two now, Joe. They're going to have OTAs next week, actually. That's when OTAs are going to start up. That's organized team activities. It's not mandatory. It's still voluntary. But they're going to have that, and we'll be talking about it, and we'll be covering it, and coverage of Bills OTAs on WGR and Minicamp is brought to you by M&M U-Pullet, Western New York's premier destination for used cars and truck parts. Khalil Shakir right there, by the way. Do you remember when he was drafted? And I think it was you and Nate who were on and talked with the guy, the writer from Boise State, right? And
yes.
He talked about how great of a leader Khalil Shakir is and all that, right? Remember, we talked about that, right? I think.
Yes. Yeah, we did.
And he was, and then I looked up and I said, oh my God, everything I read about this guy is screaming Bill's DNA. Well, one of the things he said on the air, the guy that day, he said, he was the kind of guy that, you know, even when in the losses, like, he would be the first front and center to be out in front of cameras and taking accountability. So I asked him about that last week. I said, like, where does that come from? Like, you know, you got to have that in your DNA to basically be that kind of person. And he said he's a military baby. He said his dad, he's in the military. And, you know, that's what he learned growing up, accountability and, you know, standing up for your teammates and things like that. I just thought it was fascinating. He is an amazingly engaging person, and I think he has a really, really great shot to be a very big contributor this year in a lot of ways.
Did you see that he was Pro Football Focus's highest graded player in the class at wide receiver from his college games? So not necessarily grading him as a prospect and looking at, like, the athletic tools, but just if you grade the games he played in college, he was number one. 92.6, I think, was his total. So,
and you, of course, that's against, you know, the competition he's facing, which is fine, you know, but just to point it out, he's not playing in the SEC, but that is pretty amazing to show you how productive he was in college, essentially.
Watching some of his stuff at Boise State, he kind of reminds me of Robert Woods a lot. Like, I watch him, it's just like, I feel like I'm watching Robert Woods, and maybe he's not that Robert Woods is, you know, Justin Jefferson or some superstar, but it's still a high standard to reach. I mean, Woods has had a 10-year career as, I don't know, what would you think of him as? Like a really good number two receiver?
Solid, yeah, absolutely.
A really good number two? Like if Shakir became
Woods in
that.
Buffalo, and yeah, I think he's had a really nice career, and unfortunately the injury and all that, but
yeah.
Yes.
But just kind of like, you know, really good route runner, physical, run game, blocks. I mean, that's what we remember Woods for a lot, but also enough speed to work downfield so that he's not just a one-dimensional underneath guy, can play outside, can play inside. It's probably more so where he's at his best, but can kick outside if he needs to. I don't know, like, that would be, to me, the dream scenario. I don't think of Shakir, and, like, that kind of points to maybe why he went in the fifth round. I don't feel like he's got the athletic tools to be, like, a superstar player in the NFL. But it would be a dream, I think, if he became like a Robert Woods level player. And I think that's within the range of outcomes for him. It's at the high end.
I do too.
It's at the high
end.
But.
And I'm still fascinated by this conversation of him versus maybe Jameson Crowder. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
and then because I get caught because I think Jameson Crowder could be really good with this team. I think he's the consummate professional. I don't think they're eager to like have them. It's one versus one. I don't think that's the case. But I could see a path to, boy, we just can't keep all three of these guys, including Isaiah, obviously, here.
I think that's a tough one because I don't see them doing that. And I'm trying to use their past actions as a tell as to what they would do in this situation. Even if Khalil Shakir looked awesome in training camp, looked awesome in the preseason, I mean, it took them a year and a half to really fully trust Gabriel Davis as a starter on the outside, and it took an injury right on top of that to Emmanuel Sanders. So the idea that they would, and similar draft status, Davis was a fourth-round pick, Shakir's a fifth-round pick, the idea that they would move off Crowder completely going in before he played a snap, that might be a little presumptuous, although I don't want to rule it out either, because it's not like Crowder hasn't played for them either. It's not Cole Beasley. It's not someone that has a ton of status, right, and the contract is not that bad either. So I guess I'm kind of open to anything. I guess I'm open to them saying Shakir is so good, we're going to move on from Crowder. I'm open to Shakir being a healthy scratch to start the season because he needs some time to groom. Or I'm even open to just it being like three guys splitting it. You know, like last year and the year before, it was a lot of just Cole Beasley's our slot receiver. And that's just kind of it. And I'm maybe intrigued by the idea or open to the idea that they start the year and it's split three ways. It's McKenzie when they want to go against man coverage. It's Crowder when you want to sit down and get, you know, on third and short against a zone. And maybe it's Shakir when they want a little bit more of a youthful exuberance, athleticism out there as well. Run game. I don't know. I feel like maybe all three could play into it at the same time.
Couple housekeeping items here before we get to you guys not liking what I said about the seven playoff teams. Not that you didn't like it, but
yeah,
it's a couple
what was the Saints was the biggest problem here?
The Saints. So yeah, we'll do that first if you want to. The Saints. Let's get connected with our fans. I'll tell you what some people are saying here. And getting connected with our fans is brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. So yes, Joe, our fans are saying, Sal, do not sleep on the Saints. And I'm like, I'm not. Do not sleep on the, well, I don't know, someone said Vikings maybe, even whatever. Okay. But I the Saints are the big one. And I'm like, that's fine. Who are you taking out? Like somebody said, well, the Cardinals are, you know, just the pretty average or something. I'm like, so is the rest of the conference. This is the whole point of my point, of which I said, the seven teams in the NFC. I think right now we could basically say, like, Packers, Cowboys, Bucks, Rams, 49ers, Cardinals, and I'm missing one in here that I said
Eagles.
There you go. I think they're the seven playoff teams right now.
I think they are too. I mean, the odds that one of them doesn't slip up, I mean, there's a good chance that one of them will. Someone will have an injury or a lot of injuries, or someone's quarterback will fall off the cliff. Maybe Kyler Murray gets into it with the Cardinals again. I don't know. Like, the odds that one of them falls off, sure. Like, I can be open to that. But the Vikings, the Saints, like, the Vikings to me are, they're a little unpredictable in that the coach is, presents more of an offensive upside. Like, the thing that's held them back for me has been their refusal to just kind of open up the offense and throw the ball. And always with Mike Zimmer feeling the need to establish the run and just hand it off to Dalvin Cook, and that's caused problems. Stephon Diggs wanted out of Minnesota because they didn't know how to execute an offense in the modern day NFL. And now with O'Connell in there, like, I think there's a higher upside, there's more of an intrigue as to what they could be because Justin Jefferson is so good and Thielen is still pretty good. So I'm open to them a little bit. The Saints, though, they got a coach, defensive-minded, that did not have a good first stint with the Raiders. No more Sean Payton, the offensive wizard that built that thing from the ground up 12 years ago and has ran one of the most consistent, stable offenses in football. He's gone. I've got a quarterback that threw 30 interceptions the last time he He played a full season. And by the way, when he was throwing for all that, all those yards and all those touchdowns, and yes, he was turning the ball over, but while he was putting up all those numbers, how was he doing it? He had guys that would make big plays. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, down the field. O.J. Howard, down the field as well. Chris Olave could be that in his first year as a rookie, but Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Adam Trautman, the tight end, like he's got Kamara out of the backfield. He's got underneath receivers. And like that's not Jameis Winston. You're going to ask him to be the game manager? I think that is not a guy I would trust to be a game manager. He's the guy that just, isn't he just going to let loose at some point and he's going to lose you the football game? He's not Tyrod. He's not Alex Smith. I think that's a weird fit for me offensively with the skill positions, with the coach, and with the quarterback. So I'm not a big fan of New Orleans.
Yeah, look, I don't have a problem with someone saying, well, New Orleans could, or well, Minnesota could, or well, yeah, I agree with you.
They
but
could.
I mean, like, if you're going to pin down the seven teams right now, I mean, I guess you could argue and say, if you really like that team more than Joe does or I do, like New Orleans, for example, that's fine. But I just think there's a clear have and have not right now in the NFC. That's what it comes down to. And that's not the case in the AFC, where you got all these teams are really going to be jockeying for position, and it's going to come down. And the middle is so much more fat in the AFC, right? And it seems like that is not the case in the NFC, where it's just really, there's pretty much dividing line. There's seven or maybe eight teams where you're like, yeah, the playoff pool is going to come out of these eight teams. Okay, I'll throw New Orleans. You want to throw Minnesota and say, out of these nine teams, that's fine. The rest of them are just not going to even be close to it, it seems like. So, yeah, interesting. But I did throw that up on Twitter in a little bit of a debate there. And if anybody wants to get involved, you can do that. But real quick, let's do some real quick house cleaning stuff. The Bills, they did interview yesterday, or at least it was reported yesterday. Brandon Bean has interviewed Pittsburgh Steelers pro scouting coordinator Brandon Hunt for the team's vacant assistant general manager job. Now, that was according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Brandon Hunt has been with the Pittsburgh Steelers since 2011. At least he's been their pro scouting coordinator since then. Do you know who he took over for? Do you know when he got the job, who he took over for?
No. I don't think
Doug Whaley, when he got hired as the Bills assistant general manager.
Oh, okay. Doug Whaley.
So this guy takes over for Doug Whaley back, 10 years ago?
Uh-huh.
Doug Whaley comes to Buffalo. He eventually becomes the GM. But look, Joe, I mean, you could do a lot worse than plucking someone from the Pittsburgh Steelers tree if the Bills go that route. I still think that Terrence Gray, Malik Boyd, and Brian Gain are all very much in the mix here. And, you know, I'm not reporting that necessarily just from the way it reads and how Brandon Bean has talked so well about them. And I know that you watch the videos of the draft and you see Terrence Gray next to him,
yeah,
and Brian Gain and how much he relies on these guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if it still comes from an internal hire. But it is an interview has been conducted with Brandon Hunt, who also, by the way, interviewed the Las Vegas Raiders GM job, did not get it, and a Philadelphia Eagles personnel job, did not get that. So he's very well thought of in NFL circles, and that is starting to move now on the Bills' end.
He, Rappaport, I think, had yesterday that he's also in the mix for the Steelers GM job. So
Steelers
might just promote him in-house. Which would obviously make him unavailable.
Right.
But they have, speaking of Doug Whaley, they have interviewed him twice, yeah, I believe, for their opening. Do the Steelers have?
Yeah, that's right. And also, real quick, I'll get to this. In fact, let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. I want to talk about the Bills have announced something they're doing to,
yeah,
help out with and the NFL with the tragedy over the weekend on the East Side. I want to read that to you. I want to tell you exactly what's going on, and then let everybody know also, just to reiterate how you can help as well, because I think that's important. We haven't gotten that today, and I want to make sure that everybody knows. So we'll do that when we come back.
And also,
a quick thing on the
Arizona Coyotes when we come back to that. We have to mention it before we get
okay
out here.
Okay, I need you to do that. Okay, we'll do that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wrapping things up here on the Extra Points Show, Sal Capaccio, Joe DiBiase. We'll get to the Bills in a second. I saw pictures that the Bills, also members of the Sabres and the Bandits, are volunteering right now on Jefferson Avenue. We'll get to that in a second. Sal, did you see the story about the Arizona Coyotes last night?
I did not.
So, Sportsnet, actually not Sportsnet. Sportsnet is, they wrote about the report, but it was from Sean Shapiro and Katie Strange of The Athletic, that the deal that the Arizona Coyotes, which are right now, with this story especially, they already were the biggest embarrassment in all of professional sports. Should not exist. Already a joke that they're playing in a 5,000-seat college arena for the next 3 years. But yesterday, the details of their agreement with Arizona State came out. And there are two glaring, the embarrassing parts of this agreement between the Coyotes and Arizona State. Sal, okay. Number one, the Coyotes cannot change the look of the ice surface, including the Arizona State logo at center ice. So next year, you watch a Coyotes game, you're not going to see their logo at center, you're going to see the Arizona State logo.
Wow.
That's embarrassment number one. Embarrassment number two, the school has a good behavior clause in the deal. At any moment, the school can get out of the deal if the Coyotes or owner Alex Marullo become the subjects of scandal or ridicule or fail to act as a good corporate citizen, which would leave the Coyotes homeless on a moment's notice.
Wow.
Which, I mean, I guess that would mean that they'd have to go play in another market. Just brutal. Brutal. That team is being allowed to exist there right now.
You just talked about the Bills and Sabres and Bandits down on Jefferson Avenue helping out. I just retweeted Lauren Hall from Channel 2. She has video of that. Go check that out. In the meantime, it was announced today that the Buffalo Bills Foundation and NFL Foundation are taking initial steps to help the Buffalo Bills East Side community heal in the wake of Saturday's targeted attack against the black community. I'm reading right from BuffaloBills.com, written by Dante Lansing. The foundations are combining to donate $400,000 to support the community in the wake of this horrific hate crime. $200,000 will go to the Buffalo Together Community Resource Fund. You can read more about that. The other $200,000 will be donated directly from the Buffalo Bills Foundation to various nonprofits working on the emergency response efforts. There's a lot more there. Go to BuffaloBills.com. You can read about that. We'll have something on our page about it as well. If you want to help out, there's a lot of different ways. The Feed More West New York is one way. I think a lot of you might be able to do this. They are in need of non-perishable protein items, shelf-stable fruits and vegetables, beverages, snacks, toilet paper, personal care items, and diapers. Food donations, please make sure donations are in reusable bags. And you can check their Instagram account for more up-to-date needs if you want. You can volunteer at Feed More Western New York, Buffalo Together Community Response Fund, the Buffalo 514 Survivors Fund. Links over at BuffaloBills.com attached to this story as well. We'll have more at WGR550.com. I'm off tomorrow through Tuesday. Joe's got the rest of the way. Joe, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the shows coming up yourself. I know you got a lot planned.
Thanks. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, and we'll do that. I'll talk to you on next week, and we got Instigators coming up next on WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.